Begin the current Tav, Mesechtes Bamitzia, Daf Nun Aleph, begin 12 lines down from the top of the Amid, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Daf, from the top of this Amid, where there are certain exceptions to the laws and qualifications to the lochas of Aina. So the Gemara continues with the following incident. Hu gavra da habenokid var shechei lezvune. There was a certain individual that was holding on to a bundle of silk, which are called bundles, like Rashi says, to sell. Now, Kari Shisa, he announced that he's willing to sell them for 6 zuz. Now, but in actuality, as the Gemara tells us, v'shabi chamisha, it was actually really only worth 5. Now, v'yav yovile chamshu upal gav shalka, but the guy was, it was obvious, he was willing that if someone would offer him 5.5, he would take 5.5 too. So asahu gav v'amr, so a certain individual came along and he said to himself, a consumer, and he said, look, iyahev nele chamshu palga, if I'm going to give him 5.5, I know he'll take 5.5. Havi mechila. So that's going to be what's called pachis mishtus, less than the sixth of overcharging, where that, as we explained the previous stuff, is going to be mechil, it's forgiven. That is, you don't get that money back. So said the guy to himself, etin leishita vetve ledina. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give him the price that he's asking for, which is a sixth more than the going price. What that halach is, as we explained in the previous stuff, when the person is overcharged by a sixth, he actually can then take the person back to court and get what was overcharged, that sixth, back. And then he's going to actually get it for 5. So also came to Rabbi. So he came in front of Rabbi, and Amalei, Rabbi said to him, no. Leishanu ele blekech ma'atagar. This halacha of Aino, of price fraud, which is that he can't be overcharged by a sixth, and if you are, then you actually get all that money back, that was only said if you purchased from a retailer, from a merchant. But if you purchase from an individual homeowner, a regular resident, then there is no halacha b'ayna. In other words, when a regular person is selling their jewelry or their household items, they're very dear to that person and they only sell it for a very high price. And it's like, as Rashi explains, the person that, who sold that, as if he explicitly said, I know that what I'm selling has ayna, that I'm charging more than what it's worth. But as the Gemara tells us later on, if someone explicitly says, I am charging something of Aina, then the halacha of Aina does not apply. And therefore, says the Gemara, that's the same thing over here with this person, that actually you lost out because you paid him his price. Now there actually is no halacha of Aina. You can't get that back now. You could have got it for 5.5. Now you actually ended up paying 6 and you can't get it back. Similarly, Ahu gavra da benokid keifei lezvune. There was a certain individual that was holding earrings to sell. So Kari Shitin Vishavi Khamshin. He was calling out that he's willing to sell it for 60 and really it was only worth 50. Now, Viava Yavale Khamshin Bahamsh. Avashakaba was recognizable if someone was going to offer him 55, he would have taken that too. Now also an individual came along and he said to himself, look, if I'm gonna pay him 55, so as we said before, then it's automatically going to be a mechila because it's less than a shtus, it's overcharged by less than a sixth, and then it's considered a mechila, as we said the halach on the previous stuff. It's automatically forgiven, a pardon, you can't get that back. So he said, Etn leishitin fetri ladina. So I'll give him the price that he's asking, which is 60, which is a sixth more than the going price of 50. And then I'll take him to court, which is, if I get in the time that I, there's a certain time frame of year or a tagger that he shows it to a merchant or to a friend, if he comes back in that time frame, he'll actually get that money back. So he'll actually end up buying it for 50. So also came to Rav Chizda, and he came from the Rav Chizda, and Amalei said to him, Lo yishanu elav lekech min atagar. The halacha was only said when you purchase from a merchant. But if you purchase from a homeowner, then not, as we said before, because then it's like he's explicitly saying, look, these are my stuff. I'm going to sell it for a higher price. I don't want to separate from them. And therefore, the earrings are for 60, even though the going rate is 50, and there's no halacha, but no, he can't get that back. So Amalei Rav Dimi said, when he heard this psak of Rav Chizda, he says, Yishar, that meaning to strengthen, meaning it's correct. Yishar, which that's from the term of like people say Yashar Kaichacha, that it should strengthen, that it's correct what you're saying. Now, on this halacha, actually, the Gemara asks, V'anan t'nambo, we learned in the coming Mishnah, in a few lines from now, the Mishnah says, Kishim shay no lehed, you're just like this halacha of Aynah for a common person, Kacha no letagar, so this is a halacha of Aynah for a merchant. So ask the Gemara, man hedyid, who do we mean when we mean a common person? La balabais, don't we mean a regular homeowner who's selling his own household items and the halacha b'ayna does apply? How could the Gemara have just said that halacha b'ayna does not apply to a balabais? So Amrav Chizdi says, no, b'tzad riyasa. The coming Mishnah is talking about somebody that a regular person, a hedyot, but he's selling garments of hemp, which that's stuff that are meant to be sold. Stuff that are meant to be sold, then that has to be going for the going rate. And if you overcharge, then yes, even the regular person, balabayis, a hedyot, would have to pay for, if he would have to give back if it's a shtus. Avomani tashmishte, but the case that Rav Chizda was talking about, but if it's garments that a person's own whole household items are, the akirile, which are very precious to a person, loimasman lahu ilabit may yisera, a person will not sell it off unless he can make a large amount of money, because else he doesn't want to separate from his own stuff. Therefore, that's what we said, it's like a person explicitly saying, I'm selling it even though there's aina, and then the halachas of aina do not apply, and that's why the individual is not able to get the extra six that he paid back, and he actually ended up getting a loss for the 60 instead of the 55 that he could have had. So the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, which is talking about halachas of aina regarding price fraud when an object that's being sold is either overcharged or undercharged. So the Mishnah tells us, echad alekech ve'echad ameicher, whether it be the consumer or the seller, yesh lehen aina, both of them have the halacha of aina, meaning either one could be frauded, and then halachas of ashtus apply, which is that then you get that money back if it was overcharged or undercharged by a sixth. So too, as we just quoted before, k'shim she'no lehedyot, just like the halachas of aina apply to a commoner, kacha no letager, so too applies to a merchant. But Rabbi Yehuda Aimi disagrees. He says, ein aina letager. The halachas of aina do not apply to a tager, which the Gemara will later on explain what does that mean. Now the Mishnah says, Misha hutul alav, the individual that the aina was on, meaning that he was the one that was frauded, yodei alal yoinus, he has the upper hand. What does that mean? Ratza, if he wants to, aimerle, he tells to the other one that frauded him, tainli mi'aisi, meaning if the one who was frauded was the consumer, meaning he was overcharged. So when it's by a sixth, he could either say, look, give me back my money, I don't want the sale to go through anymore, or give me what I was frauded, meaning, okay, I'm okay with the sale, but you overcharged me by six, give me that extra money back. That means he has the upper hand, he gets to decide what should happen, and that's the halacha by the one who is frauded by a sixth. So the Gemara says, where do we know these halachas from? Specifically, that it applies to both the meicher and the lekech. That if it's overcharged or undercharged, either one of them has halachas of aina apply. So they're trying to point like Linda Bryce, the Pasuk Meikra says, chisimkru memkru lamisecha, when you sell an item to your friend, al tainu, which is the word of aina, do not afflict him, which is this halacha, this concept of fraud regarding a sale. Now, ainli elishin nesan lekech. So from that part of the pasuk, I would only know if the one who is frauded was the consumer, because it's warning the meicher. Nesan meicher minayin, how do we know the halacha applies even if the seller was frauded, that he was underpaid? Tamalema, as the pasuk teaches over there, oikonoi, or if you buy, there the pasuk also says, al tainu, which the halachas of aina apply, that the consumer also should not commit aina, meaning to underpay for the item, and if he does, the halachas of aina apply. Says the Gemara, v'itzach l'michtav lekech, v'itzach l'michtav meicher. Both the halachas of aina that apply to the seller and to the consumer both have to be said. Why? The Ikas Rachman the Meicher had the Torah only written that the seller is forewarned regarding bal tainu, that he should not overcharge to the consumer, mishum de kimle bezvinte, because the seller knows how much he paid for the item, and it would seemingly be that he's deliberately overcharging for the item that he's selling, because he knows how much he paid for it, and he's charging a sixth more. So maybe by him the Torah warns, because it's a deliberate action, that he's not allowed to do that. But the consumer who's not aware regarding this item that he's buying, how much it's worth, he's just buying it. I would say maybe the Torah does not forewarn him that he's not violating anything when he underpays. That's what I have to say, that the halacha of aina applies even to a lekech. Now, because of Rachman lekech, and had the Torah only written halacha of aina warning the consumer, I would say mishum de kokani, because ultimately, the one who's the lekech, yes, he has the azhar of aina, meaning he is warned regarding it, because he's getting the upper hand, because he's the one that's buying the object. The Amayinch, like people say, Zavnis, if you buy something that is of substance, Kanis, you have acquired something and the gain is by you, because now you don't have money to have wasted on other things. You have something that's concrete that will last. But the seller who's actually losing, why? Because the Amayinch, like people say, Zavin, when you sell your object, Avid, that now the loss is all yours, because now you have money and you're going to spend it on other things. I would say actually that the seller, who is he's the one that has that's really doing most of the losing, that he would not be warned regarding if he charges more, if he charges a sixth. So you have to say that halacha b'ainah applies both by a meicher and by a lekech. Now the Tanakh has said that the halachas apply both by a hedyot and by a tager, whereas as the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer ainah no letager, the halachas b'ainah do not apply to a merchant. Ask the Gemara. Mishum shu tager in lo yinah, because he's a merchant, the halachas of Anah do not apply. Why? Where do we see anywhere in the Pasuk, what's the logic to say that a merchant, halachas of Anah do not apply? So Amar Rav Nachman Amarav, he explains that betager safsar shanu, the halacha the Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda was talking about, by a merchant middleman, who he goes to the marketplace, he buys in one corner, and he sells immediately somewhere else in that same marketplace. Now, my time, what's the reason that the halachas of Anah do not apply to him? Because made the yada zevinte kamashabi, he knows how much the item is that he just bought, because there was no delay between his buying it and then reselling it. So why is he selling it for a cheaper price? V'achuli achal gabe. Now the loss is his. He's going ahead and he's actually being meichel. He's forgiving to his own consumer that he's selling it to. Now, v'hai dezam nahachi. Why is he doing this? Why is he selling it below the value of the item? Mishum de isrami lezvin dachriti. Must be because there's only so much liquid cash that he has. So he bought something that he thought would be a great deal. Now, but he has another deal that could even be better. But now he's holding this stock. So he goes, you know what? I got to really sell this fast. I'm going to sell it below cost. I'm going to sell it for a sixth less. Now, v'hashta miyu kohodabe. But it's only now, later, when he finally made that sale, he's like, I don't want to lose this. Now I'm going to bring him to court. No. Halachas of Anah do not apply to you because you knew what you were doing. You wanted that. You were meichel it. If a person is meichel, he's meichel. Therefore, when we say there's not halachas of Anah for a tager, is when the tager and the merchant, which a tager safser, this middle guy who's quickly buying and selling, flipping, that guy knows what he's doing. And if he sold it below a sixth, he did it deliberately because he needed to go ahead and buy something else. And therefore, the halachas of Anah of Shtus do not apply when the tager, the safser, was selling below a sixth below the price. That's one interpretation. Rav Ashi says, no, my ain latagar ano. What does Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says that there's no ano for a merchant? It means in the betiris ano, that he's not in the halachas of ano of fraud, meaning shafila pachas michtei ano chayzer. It means that even if it's less than a sixth, if he was underpaid, since his whole livelihood depends on selling and flipping, so therefore the Chacham instituted that he could go ahead and back out even if it's less than a sixth, meaning if a guy who once in a while is selling something, so within a sixth is a normal margin that the Torah says halachas of Anah apply. But for this guy that his whole livelihood depends on reselling something, that's what the merchant does, therefore he's not in the halachas of Anah, meaning even less than Anah, that he will be able to back out even if it's less than a sixth. So the Gemara says, Tanik of Asid Rav Nachman. We have a Braisa that says, like Rav Nachman, that even, meaning not like the way Rav Ashi just said, that actually the Tager has the upper hand, meaning that he's not an Aino, he could back out even for something smaller, but rather like Rav Nachman that said that even if it is a sixth, the Tager's officer cannot back out, and they don't give him back the Aino at all. We see from the following Braisa, where Behuda Omer, he says, Tager ain lo yinah, and it explains his opinion, why is there no yinah by the tager, by the merchant? Mipnei shehu baki, because he's a professional. In other words, since it says that the reason why there's no yinah by him is because he's a professional, it must be told him because he's like that middle guy, who he knows what it is that he has to buy and sell, and sometimes he'll sell at a loss. So therefore, that's obviously like Rav Nachman had said it, where it's that he doesn't get back his money, even if he undersold it for a sixth, again, because he deliberately did that and he was Meichel. So the Mishnah said, Mishal Hutal Alav, the one that the Aino was placed upon him, that he was the one that was frauded, Yad Al Yaino. B'chulu, he has the upper hand, as we explained, he could decide to void the whole sale right now, or he could say, no, I want the sale to go through, but I want that what was overcharged to be given, to be reimbursed to me. So the Gemara says, Mani Mastin, who's the town of our Mishnah? Lo Yerb Nasin, Lo Yerb Yehuda Nasi, which recorded this price in the previous daf. It's not going like Rib Nasin, all like Rib Yehuda Nasi, as the Gemara explains. Irab Nasin, Irab is like Rib Nasin, Masnitin Ketani Ratza. Our Mishnah says that the one who is frauded has the upper hand. If he wants to, he could choose to void the sale. And if he wants to, he could say, no, keep the sale, but I want what was overcharged to be given back to me. But a Braisa, but the Braisa which quotes Reb Nosson, like a Dani Ratza, doesn't say that he has a choice. Rather, it says that by default the sale has to go through. It's just that the Aino, what was overcharged, is given back to him. So that's not like Reb Nosson. And if the Tana of the Mishnah would be like Rudan Nasi, the problem is Masnitin, the Mishnah which says that when he was frauded, Ketani Loikeach, who does it mention as the one that was frauded that has the upper hand? It was talking about the consumer. As he says, Tenli Ma'isa, give me my money back. Who's taking the back their money? Who gave money? It's the consumer. Problem is, the Braisa by Rudan Nasi, Ketani Meicher, it mentions that who's the one that could back out? Who's the one that was frauded has the upper hand? It was talking about the seller, because it said that he can go ahead and take his object back. But it would sound like, according to Buda Nasi, that if the consumer was frauded, then he doesn't have the upper hand. So who's the Mishnah like? Not like Reb Nosson, and not like Buda Nasi. So the Gemara says, Simen Zav Rash, which are the names of the Amiram that give these answers, Reb Elazar. So the Reb Elazar says, Aina Zu, the halacha of our Mishnah, which talks about Aina, any day Mishnah, I don't know who taught it, because you're right, it's not like Reb Nosson, and it's not like Rudan Nasi. That's one interpretation. Rabba Amma, he gives a different interpretation. He says, La'olam Reb Nosson hi, that it is Reb Nosson. But Tani Name Bebraisa, and amend the Braisa by Reb Nosson to say, Ratza, that if he wants to, he can choose between either one of them. And the machlekes between him and Rudan Nasi was regarding who is the one that can back out. The Tana of our Mishnah, which is like Reb Nosson, says that it's the Lekeach can back out. And again, he has the choice, like the Mishnah said. Whereas Reb Yehuda HaNasi said that, no, it's the Meicher that can back out. That was their Machlekes. That's the second interpretation. Third interpretation, Rav Amma, he says, La'ilam Reb Yehuda HaNasi. No, truthfully, the Tana of the Mishnah is Reb Yehuda HaNasi. Umay Deshari B'masnitin, Kamafarash B'braisa. What was left out in the Mishnah, you're right, the Mishnah only mentioned the consumer backing out. And that which was left out many times, the Braisa has an expanded version of the Mishnah that spoke about the Meicher backing out, but the truth is, Rebbe holds it's by either one that they could back out, and he has the Yod Elyon, and therefore it's the Tana of the Mishnah is Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. Now, Rav Ashi, Dekanami. So Rav Ashi actually says that a precise reading of the Mishnah indicates that the halacha is not only by the Lekeach, as our Mishnah says, but it's also by the Meicher. And it just specified it regarding the Lekeach, but it didn't specify the case of the Meicher, but it applies to both. Because the Tani, we learned in the Mishnah starts off by saying, Echad Lekeach, Echad Meicher, the halachas of Aino apply to both the consumer and to the seller. Umefarish the Lekeach. And it then, when it talks about one of the specifics of the halacha, it mentions the consumer, but Shema Meino, Shiyuri Shari Lemeicher, Shema Meino. But obviously we can infer it just left out, because it's not going to talk about every single case. To illustrate the halacha, it picked Lekeach, but the halacha is applied to both Lekeach and to a Meicher, which again, like Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, and he's the Tana of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara continues with a related discussion, like we mentioned regarding the Tagar, that Rebbe Yehuda says, Ein Loi Aino. So too, the Gemara considers the halacha regarding that where I know would not apply. So Itmar, we learned as follows. Somebody sells something to somebody else, and he says, on the condition that you don't have upon me the halachic rights of Aino. Doesn't machlekes. Rav Amar, yesh loy olav Aino. Rav says, no, the halachas of Aino will still apply. Ushmul Amar, ein loy olav Aino. Shmuel says, no, he will not have the halachas of Aino. He won't be able to get what was overcharged and fraud. He won't be able to get it back. Says the Gemara, Lema Rav de Amakre Meir. Let's say Rav says like a mayor, who he's quoted elsewhere in Shas that he says that if someone's masna masha kasaba Torah, if someone makes a condition, a stipulation, which negates what's written in the Torah, the condition is nullified and void, even if it's regarding monetary law. Ushmul de Amakre Behuda, where Shmuel, who says that the stipulation does go through, where we're talking about monetary halacha, is like a Yehuda who holds that such a Tanai is valid, even though it goes connected halacha in the Torah. It's kind of like learn the Braisa. Ha'im le'isha, if someone tells to a woman, Harei mekudeshesli, behold, I want you to be engaged to me, al manas, on the condition, she'en lecha alai she'ekusus va'ino, that you don't have upon me the three things that a husband is obligated to his wife, which is food and clothing and marital relations, if I don't have to give you those three things, then you're engaged to me. So it says the first opinion, Harezu Mekadesh, she is engaged, but with Tanai Batal, the stipulations are void, Divrei Meir. So Meir says the Tanai is Batal because the Torah says you have to give that to the wife. You can't then go ahead and go make a stipulation of Kedushin that opposes that. So the Tanai is Batal. Behuda, I mean, he disagrees. He says, no, but davisha b'mamon, by something that's a monetary concept, like sharing sus regarding clothing and food, then tnoi kaim, then his conditions, his stipulations are valid, and they could be forgiven by the woman who's agreeing and consenting to those conditions, and she forgave. But as Rashi points out, regarding oina, which is marital relations, that's a physical pain, that's not monetary, that's not given to forgiveness, that's something that even he would agree that this night would be bottled. But seemingly the machleg is Rav and Shmuel regarding this monetary halacha of oina, if you could make a tonight that opposed that halacha from the Torah, would be the machleg is Remei and Yehuda regarding can you make a tonight on halacha of mamon. So then the Gemara says, no, each one would tell you, I could even be like the other Tana. Amalacha Rav. Rav would tell you, I'm not the Amri Afil Rabbi Yehuda. I could even be like Rabbi Yehuda, because ad kam lakam Rabbi Yehuda hasam, meaning up until now, where do we find Yehuda's concept that he says over there, that the Tanai is kaim by a davish of a moment which goes and opposes Torah law? That's el diyada b'kamachla. That's only like in that situation when he's engaging a woman, that she knows that she's losing a Torah right, and she's forgiving on it. So that's where he would hold that the Tanai is kaim. But as we continue to amadbe is avalhacha, but here in this situation, mi yada, does the consumer know that there's oina, that there is real fraud here, demachal, that he should be forgiving on it? He thinks that the seller just wants an insurance policy, but he doesn't really think that he's being frauded over here. And therefore, since he doesn't know, he obviously can't be meichel, and if he's not being meichel, then that the Torah is saying that you have to go ahead and do oina, and that's why even Rabbi Huda would agree that in this situation, the tanai would not be kaim, and there would be oina. That's what Rav would say. Shmuel would say the other way too. I'm not the Amri Afil Remeir. I could even be like Remeir, because Ad Kan Lekham Remeir Hasam. Where do we find Remeir over there that says regarding a Davar Shabbat moment that tonight is bottle, it's void, it's not Kayim? That's El Devad Ka'akar, because in that situation, at the time of the stipulation, it's a definite uprooting of a Torah law. Because the Torah says, if you get engaged to a woman, you're obligated to feed her and to clothe her and to give her marital relations. Now here, this person is explicitly and deliberately uprooting that Torah law. Because even if he subsequently gives her food and clothing, that is just giving her a gift, because he already said he's not doing the share and the ksus. So yes, the Remeir says that tonight is batal. But here, in the case of Aina, when he made that condition, who said, and therefore since it's an explicit opposition to Torah law, because it's not definite that it's going to be Aina, because maybe he will not overcharge him by a sixth, we don't know. Since when he made the stipulation before, let's say, the negotiation started, that's not a definite uprooting the Torah, then therefore, says Shmuel, even Remei would agree that the Tanai would be kind. Now, Amr Avan, he explains, he says, L'didi mefarshali minei demar Shmuel. To me, it was explained from the master Shmuel that if someone tells his friend, like in the previous case we just discussed, which Shmuel said his opinion, someone says to his friend, on the condition, we're going to go through with this contract, on the condition that you don't have upon me the halach of Aina. So then, as we said before, as Shmuel holds that there is no halacha v'ayna, because even the contrary mayor, who said that it's going to be uprooting Torah law, who said that it will be overcharged? Since it's not definite, and it's not direct, therefore there's no halacha v'ayna. But, says Ravana, what Shmuel told me was, if let's say the words that he uses are, amanah she'ein boy ayna, on the condition that there isn't ayna in this. So, when you say in that type of wording, that's not like, you don't have on me ayna, which is, when the consumer consents to that, it's an agreement and a pardoning of the fraud. Rather, he's just saying that I'm making this sale on the condition that this sale does not have oina in it. Now the problem is, it actually does have oina in it. And actually, essentially, it's a mekach tais, because the seller stipulated that as long as there's no fraud in it, and hare yesh ba yana, and there is aina in it, and therefore, if the consumer wants to back out, they could totally back out, because it's from the halachas of mekach tois, which is a mistaken acquisition, and not just the halacha of aina, where that's a discussion regarding backing out, or just getting the aina back. Now, the Gemara goes back to ask, Meisvei, we had answered that, according to this machlekes Rav and Shmuel, that we thought it was the machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Remeir, and that the Gemara said, no, each Amayu could say that he's like the other Tana. On that, the Gemara asked him the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Hanoisei v'hanoisen ba'amonav. Someone does business dealings with trust. Meaning, if somebody tells his friend, look, take all this merchandise, sell as much as you can, and when you finish selling, you come back in a few months from now, you'll give me the profits that we made. And I'm relying on you, and I will pay you for the efforts that you put in. So the profits will be mine, but I'll pay you for your efforts. And similarly, the same halacha that the Brice is explaining applies to the case that we were discussing just before. Someone tells his friend, I'm going to make this sale to you on the condition that you don't have any rights of ayna on me. Says the Brice, regarding both of these cases, so he doesn't have any rights of ayna on him. So regarding the second case, it's understandable what that means. Regarding the first type of a case, Rashi says, so for example, let's say, if either party, meaning when the person gave his friend the merchandise to sell, if he undersells or oversells, then he can't tell him, oh, wait a second, that's more or less than what I expected. So let's say if it's more, so let's say the one who sold it for him would want to hold on to it, or if he undersold it, the one who gave it to him would want to complain. Says the Brice, in both of these cases, there's no halacha v'ino that apply to it. But one thing that the Gemara wants in this is from the second case, L'Rav the Amar Anod the Amri Afil Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rav that we just explained, that he could say that I say my halacha, that you cannot make any stipulations regarding Eina, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who normally he's the one that says you could make stipulations against Torah law when it comes to monetary law. He wanted to say that no, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree to me in this case, because here the person doesn't know to be Meichel. So on that the Gemara asks, then Hamani. So then who is the Tana of this Braisa who clearly is saying that if someone says that case, She'en l'cha ala ayna, it's not going to be ayna, that the stipulation is correct. So Abai says, you're right, Machvarta, it's clear that Rav amak Remeir, we must say that Rav is like Remeir, Shmuel amak Rabbi Yehuda, and Shmuel is like Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore Rav will explain that this Braisa is going like Rabbi Yehuda, who he says that you're right, even where the person does not know to be Meichel, he still says that halacha, that Tetna is going to be kind when it's talking about monetary law. That's one approach. Rav Amar, he says, no, loikach, it's not a difficulty. We could even say that Rav is like Rabbi Yehuda. So who's the Tana of this Braisa? Kan, because Rav's halacha was said bistam. When somebody says, without specifying, he just says, on the condition that you don't have on the ayna, and the person doesn't know that there is in the ayna, for him to be Meichel. So that's where Rav said that you can't make such a tonight. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree to that. Khan over here in the Bryce is talking about Bim Mefarish. We explicitly tells him and says, look, I know what I'm selling to you is fraud. I'm charging you more than a sixth of the price. But I want you to know that I'm selling it to you and you can't have any claims of ayna against me. And that is where Behuda says that that is going to be a stipulation with the Tanai is going to be kaim, because that's going to be the same as the case we explained of sharing sus, where if the person knows and is Meichel, even though they know that they're being frauded in regards to Torah law, then the Tanai is going to be kind. The Tanai, like we actually learned this answer of Rava in the following Braisa. The Braisa says, when did we say that each one has the rights of Ayna if they're over or under charged to the other one? That's Bistam. That's in general by a regular sale. But when it's explicit, for example, if let's say the seller tells to the consumer, this object that I'm selling to you for 200, I want you to know it's only worth 100, but I'm selling it for 200, double the price, 50% increase. But on the condition that you don't have any ayinami, so then he doesn't have the halachas of ayinami on him. And then it goes the other way around. When the consumer tells to the seller, I want you to know, I know you're the seller, but the object I'm buying for you for 100, I want you to know it's really worth 200. But I'm buying it from you, and I want you to know, you can't have any claims of enough of me and come back later and say that you want your money back. Says the Braisa, it doesn't have the rights of enough. Again, exactly as we said, and that's the halacha we said before, the Balabayas, when it's explicitly said to the person that there is ayna and the person is Meichel, so then that's the halacha where, as Rav said, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that in such a case, there the halacha is going, meaning when does Rabbi Yehuda agree? When the person knows and he says it, in contrast, however, says Rav, that Rabbi Yehuda would agree when the person doesn't know, like the way Rav said it's tam, then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the tanai would not be kaim and the person would still have the halacha of ayna on that individual. Turn about Linda Bryson. As we said, that if someone does business dealings based on trust, which is that he gives the product to his friend to sell to the best of his ability and he'll compensate him for his efforts, but the profits go to the owner. So says the Braisa, if let's say he has two products that he's trying to sell through this guy, he can't, as we'll explain shortly, calculate the inferior product based on the principle of trust, and the good product, which is going to be sold right away, based on its market value. In other words, to make that delay of the monies, which are not going to be given back to the owner, that the one who's selling it for him will be able to hold on for that period to be the payment for his effort, as Rashi explains. For example, if let's say somebody has two types of wines. One very high, good quality, which is going to be sold the moment this guy takes it to the marketplace in one shot. Then there's inferior quality, which is only going to be sold in the stores, retail. It's going to take a long time till it's sold, till he goes and sells it in older stores. So that's what the Bryce is saying, that the owner cannot tell the guy who's working for him, look, I'll do for you the following operation. The good wine, when you the market value, the price that it's going to fetch for in the market, let's say $50 for the barrel, I'm going to sell it to you for that $50. And that's how much you're going to sell it for in the market. Now, so what's the gain? On the condition that you additionally sell for me the bad wine, going from store to store to try to, till you takes you might take you months to go ahead and sell that bad wine, but you'll do the best of your ability. Now, when you sell both, which again, the first one will be right away, and the second one will be a few months from now, then you'll give me the monies, the proceeds of both of those sales. Now, what does the owner gain? He gains by not having to pay this guy anything. How so? Because since he's selling one barrel of wine, which is the fair market value of $50 right away, that money, which the work is not going to give back to the owner until months from now when he's going to get the proceeds of the inferior wine, that money will be his to use for a period of time. Who doesn't want to have money to use in the market to be able to spend on different things, to make investments, etc., etc., which has value? That's what the Bryce is saying, is that you cannot do that, because that what you're giving him is actually ribbis. Because Hamtan Nesmois, that's what a ribbis is. It's a loan to say, I'm going to give you a certain amount. You can use that money, which has a certain value, and then you'll give me back more than what I gave you, which is payment for that loan. Essentially, that's what he's doing over here. He's giving him this good money where he can hold on to it up until when he has to give it back to him at a later point in time. That's the profit margin of the usability of that money. That is considered ribbis. So there it says the Bryce, you can't do what we just described. Either you do both the good and the bad wine based on trust, meaning, as we said before, where he pays him, as the Gemara will shortly explain, a set amount for his efforts. Or actually both of them are done that he sells to him for the market value, and then the profit that goes to the one who is working for him. But you can't do one for the actual value that you're selling to him right now, and the other one based on the mana, because again, then it comes out to a violation of the halachas of ribbis. Now, moreover, says the Braisa, that if, let's say, he chooses the option of amana of trust, which is that this guy's not making any of the profits, he's just getting paid for his efforts, and again, they can't be holding on to that money because you're doing half and half, then when it comes to calculate for the expenses that he spent and that he's going to calculate the profit margin and that he could just get paid for his efforts, so you have to deduct, and v'noisenlo, and you give to that worker schar kasif, the payment of how much it costed for someone to carry on the shoulders to carry the wine to the stores. And moreover, if he needed camels to transport it, then you give him schar gamal, the payment, how much he had to pay for the car service, meaning for the camels, and schar punduk, and how much he had to pay for staying in an inn. And because you have to deduct all those things, that those are expenses that were necessary, that doesn't come off from the profit that he makes for the work that he put in. Now, but says the Braisa, schar atzma in a neutral, but the payment for himself, the worker, for his effort, he doesn't take anything. Shekvar nasam le schar mishalom, because he already took a full payment. Which the Gemara asks, schar mishalom mehecha koyavli. But where did we find, calculate over here, that he's paid for his effort? So Amar Papa, he explains, bitzad druriye. We're talking about those who sell these garments of hemp, which there is a certain set amount that people pay for workers to put in the effort to sell them, which the Yave Arbalamea, which for every 100, the one who puts in the effort to sell them gets 4. That's the price range of how much you pay a worker to do that. That's what we mean, that he already paid him, because he already gets 4 out of those 100 garments that was already paid to him, and therefore he just has to deduct from expenses, and then the rest of the profit goes to the owner. None of the profit goes, if you're doing a mana, to the worker himself. That's just what the Gemara mentioned regarding, since we brought in this topic of Nisim Ba'amana, regarding the previous Braisa, regarding the Lachas of Aina, so that the Gemara mentions that you can't do half and half, because then it's going to be a violation of the Lachas of Ribbis.